My vision is faultless, and so is my world. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. We have today the thought for today. My vision is faultless, and so is my world. Can you believe that your vision is faultless and your world is faultless? Can you come to that sort of a conclusion for yourself, that your vision is faultless and your world is faultless? Well, if you can, you are coming to a very positive direction for your life. How many people have you met in your life who live a faultless existence? How many people have you met in your world who live a faultless existence? And the answer must be everyone, because you are faultless. Now, my vision is faultless, and my world, and so is my world. Now, how does our vision get to be faultless? When we only see our original purity and integrity. I had a dream the other night that some terrible, despicable bum was on the street. And I felt inclined to go and talk to him. He was a beggar and slurry in speech and poor in every possible way. But I went over and talked to him. Something inside of me said, hey, this is an interesting person. So as I talked to him, I asked him, I said, where do you live? And he said, nowhere. I said, what do you eat? He said, whatever I can get. And I said, why have you no motivation to take care of yourself in life? He said, I take care of myself just the way I want, you know. And I noticed that you've been drinking. What's your motivation for drinking, you know? Why are you interested in drinking and having liquor in your body instead of good thoughts? He said, well, I have good thoughts too, and the liquor makes me forget where I am, you know, forget the experiences that I am of sleeping under the bridge and things like that. And I said, well, it sounds to me like you could stand to have a new attitude toward life if you want to. He says, I was thinking of that the other day too, that perhaps if I get a new attitude toward life, I might be more happy myself. And I said, well, I think that you have within you the genius that I'm looking for. And he said, what kind of genius are you looking for that be inside of a wretched old drunk like me, you know? And I said, well, I feel that just below the surface of your attitude and your thinking and your body is your original purity and integrity. That thought came to me the other day too. I said, great. I said, how would you like to come up and work for us, and we don't pay anything, but we feed you, house you, and clothe you, and you take our course, and that gives you an opportunity to think positive all day long, and then you just do whatever you're told to do, and you have a place to live, and it could be quite nice. Now, what do you think of that? He says, well, since this has been on my mind recently, that I should, you know, shape up, I'll take the job. And I said, well, it's not a job. And what it is being a monk. Being a monk? I mean, I got to study religion? And I said, no, it's philosophy. This is a philosophical monkhood, where you're not worshiping something outside of yourself. You're just becoming aware of how wonderful you are and how divine you are, and to be all that you are, your original purity and integrity, which is what you agreed that you were thinking about too. So this retrograde bum came up to the ranch, and he began doing what we told him to do. And he would listen to our daily lectures three times a day, and he would attend to the things that we told him to do, and he did his work. But he did his work with a different program than we've ever seen done. He did his work as though each action that he took was revealing his original purity and integrity. And I told him, wow, that's fantastic. Each act you do is revealing how magnificent you are. It reveals the perfect way of doing whatever it is you're doing. It doesn't matter, raking leaves or digging or cleaning the swimming pool or whatever it is. It doesn't matter. Each action you do is reflecting your original purity and integrity. And he says, I guess it is. You know, I hadn't thought of it quite like that, but I guess it is. And so, as he went on, he found that the Course illuminated him to such a degree that he not only acted according to his original purity and integrity, he lived according to his original purity and integrity. Every word he spoke was a pure reflection of the divine within him. Every action he took was a pure reflection, like night and day. In just a short time of a couple of days, he changed from the bum drinking alcohol to soothe his nerves and so forth to the motivationalist-less person who had nothing to live for, to a man who was living, reflecting his original purity and integrity. And at the monastery, we all looked at him, and we thought to ourselves, wow, what an example for us. You know, what an example for us. Here this man had no previous training in this. He was not stupid, you know. He had no previous training, and he had no motivation to do anything when he came here. But when he came here and he recognized that he did have his original purity and integrity always intact, and he was going to use that as the foundation for his thinking, his acting, his doing, his being. Well, time went on, and pretty soon his excellence became very definite. We never asked him what he had been before, because that didn't matter. All that mattered was, what are you now? And as he chose to be now his original purity and integrity, he was just utterly fantastic. And we say here, my vision is faultless, and so is my world. So he recognized that his vision depended on only one thing, his attitude of mind. And if he had an attitude of mind that was harmonious and joyful, you know, confident and all that good stuff, then his vision would reveal that same attitude. Because what he is inside of himself is what he sees outside of himself. Before, he saw a world that had been meaningless to him. Now, recognizing his original purity and integrity, he sees a world that is meaningful to him. And he is seeing everything. He's seeing everything. My vision is faultless, and so is my world. Most amazing fellow. Can we each have this same glorious experience of having our vision faultless and our world the same? Can we have that? Can each one of us do that? It takes a decision on our part of what we're going to do. What kind of things are we going to do? What kind of things are we going to do to have our vision be faultless and our world also? What we're going to do is first direct our attention to our original purity and integrity. And as we direct our attention to our original purity and integrity, we will see nothing else but our faultless self. We'll see nothing but our pure self, our fantastic self. Now, are you able to do such a thing? Of course. Are you motivated to do such a thing? No. You're not motivated to do such a thing because you don't see what can come from doing it. You don't realize that your entire world, your entire life, can make a flip-flop from a life of being social to a life of being fantastic, you know? Now, most of us are perfectly satisfied with so-so lives. And we live so-so lives and we think, that's okay. I'll get just a little frosting now and then of the divinity that I am, but I'm going to eat the whole cake. And what do? We're not wanting to eat our divinity, if you will. We're not wanting to develop our divinity within us, our original purity and integrity. There's only one way you develop your original purity and integrity, and that is to be that way. You say, well, how do you define that? Very easily. I like me, and everything I do is fun. If you like yourself and everything you do is fun, you'll be living your original purity and integrity. But you don't feel you're worthy of liking yourself and living your original purity and integrity. That's what you feel. You don't feel you're worthy of having fun. Having fun! You know, this is the idea that scares most people away. That's irresponsible, you know. Oh, that's very responsible. And be yourself. What is be yourself? Don't put on any to-dos for anybody. When I traveled around the world giving seminars, sometimes I wear a suit coat, but very, very rarely. If it's a church service and everybody's in a suit coat and it looks more proper to be that way, I do, but I don't really care. People accept me the way I am. They have to, because that's the way I am. And people don't feel I should be wearing suit coats. I don't feel I should be wearing anything. I was in Africa, and everyone was dressed up to the nines in their glorious gowns and clothing and so forth. And I just decided I wasn't going to wear all that finery. So I put on a pair of Ocean Pacific shorts and a nice blue t-shirt and my sandals, I had my sandals on, and I conducted the entire 4.5 to 5 hour ceremony. What a show. What a program. And I got up and I spoke to the children and I spoke to the adults and I spoke to everybody, and not one of them made one little glimmer of thinking I was not properly dressed. They said, oh, that's Herb. Oh, that's Herb Barley. That's the way he is. And after that's done, it's over with. When I first told my host where we were doing the ordination and the degree granting program, I said to her, this is what I'm wearing. And she said, okay. You know, instantly she was untouched. At first she thought, oh, you should be glorious like we are, wearing fine robes. They offered me fine robes and stuff too. Wearing these fine robes and these fine gowns and these fine things. And why? Does that make me happy? Now you say, well, Herb, you should do that because you're cooperating with a program that you've established with a little bit of dignity to it. Hey, the dignity is not in what I wear. It's in how I treat the program. And as I worked over the program with the people there, every one of them felt magnificent, and every one of them wants to take our courses, wants to do these things, wants to be part of us. They want to attend everything we do down there because they know that the teaching that we're giving them is telling them how to be their original purity and integrity. And when you can do that, be your original purity and integrity, you got it made. But if you're going to fight me by saying, I've got to dress this way or that way, or I got to appear this way or that way in public, or I got to do this or got to do that, hey, if you came to the swimming pool with your video camera and you said, Herb, will you give an hour talk on being yourself and having fun? Would you give an hour talk? Sure. I'm sitting there in my mini swim trunks, you know, and I'm sort of laying back, and I'm speaking about all of the things that I'm speaking about and getting excited about it. And people see my bare chest, you know, my bare legs and stuff, and people see me and they don't think a thing about it. That's just me. And when they think about it or see it later on TV or wherever they see it, they say to themselves, that's unique, you know. Hey, he's being himself and having fun. Yeah, hey, isn't that cool? Now, could you do that? No, you couldn't do that because you're a product of society and you think society demands this of you and so you do it. Now, Ellen goes down to Africa and across the United States and Europe and everywhere, and she wears very challenging, very casual, comfortable clothing. And occasionally she'll dress with something snappy, but it's merely because that's just a jacket. But most of the time she's very casual, and she wears the most gosh-awful colors in her skirts, as do the other women there. And they're there to be professional, indeed. But who sees the color of their skirt after you look at it? You look at it, and poof, so it is, you know. You look at her casual dress, you say, poof, so it is, you know. Now, Ellen should wear her special classy shoes, patent leather shoes. She should wear stockings. Oh, my goodness, yes, you know. She should wear stockings. She should wear a skirt that matches her blouse so that it is a matching piece, you know. And she should take a scarf, perhaps, and wrap it around her neck to give her a little more pizzazz to it, you know. But she does what she wants to do. You understand? And they all love her just because she is what she is. And sometimes she'll even come in wearing her jeans. And they don't think a thing about it. Next thing you know, shorts. Yeah, a lot of shorts. And then next thing you know, they're wearing their jeans and they're wearing their shorts. And they're saying, why not? Be ourselves and have fun. That's what the name of the game is. And that's what the fun of the game is. So, my vision is faultless and so is my world. My vision comes from inside. My vision comes from my original purity and integrity. My vision comes from, I like me, I like me, I like me. Kind of interesting, isn't it? So you have yourself a good time and know that everything in your world is going just beautiful and that you are just fantastic, fabulous, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, and know that I love you. I love you.
I love you.